Bucks Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Radio Show. I'm Scott Butt from sitting in for Jeff Poor today here at FM Talk 106.5. And joining us now is Representative Susan DuBose. Representative DuBose's district covers quite a bit of the Tribune, Trustful Tribune coverage area. You guys know I'm the publisher here at the Tribune. And we welcome on Representative DuBose. Representative, how are you this morning?
Hey, Scott, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on this morning.
I appreciate you coming on. I'm kind of wearing you out lately. I've drug you into Tribune Unscripted. What was that, the week before last?
I love it. I love it, Scott. I'm thankful for you giving me the opportunities and for us having the opportunity, us just to get to know each other. We haven't really gotten to know each other, so I love to be on Unfiltered.
That's right. We're still in the process of getting to know you, and I will say this: we have been so fortunate here at the Tribune in that all of our representatives and state senators that followed our 9-city coverage area have been great about communicating with the newspaper, communicating with our audience, and allowing us to share direct information. And you've become one of those people, and we appreciate you taking your time to do this for us this morning as well.
Well, we love it, and it's mutually beneficial. It helps us get to know the community, and the community get to know us. We can bring awareness to issues that are going on, and it's wonderful to have that communication.
Well, when you get a moment, you can speak with Representative Danny Garrett and Senator Shea Shelnight, the representative and senator from Trustful. And you will find out, you've already found out, Susan, that when I get drug into this, I drag all of you with me. Y'all all have to come. And
hey, that's our job. We love it. We're not there for the easy stuff. Anybody can do the easy stuff. We're there for the tough stuff.
Let me ask you the question that we asked several people on Friday, and we asked Lieutenant Governor this morning, he was on just before you, what is the one issue that nobody's talking about right now that you think is going to be a big player in the regular session when it comes up?
Well, for me, listening to my constituents, something they're telling me over and over again, internet safety for young people. Access to porn, addiction to porn. I mean, that's one of those things nobody wants to talk about. But somehow I'm always getting it. I just lean towards issues that affect our children and women. And when somebody talks to me about their grandchildren and the issues that they are having on the internet and access, I'm going to be pushing for ID requirement to access certain portions of the internet. I mean, you shouldn't be able to access adult content as a child. And that's becoming a problem in our community. And I don't know if that's what you're leaning toward, but that's just, you know, something new that has come to light on my behalf.
I would say we're not leaning toward anything. We're really just wanting to get input from legislators on what they anticipate. And that is, that's a very interesting subject that you bring up.
Yes, Internet Safety Act. And there's lots of different ways you can go look at it. You can ask for IDs. There's different filtering devices that we have looked at. There's a lot of, it's an all-encompassing issue. But when I start hearing person after person in my community coming to me, and it's affecting their families, and it's not just children, but we have adults that are getting addicted to porn. The access is more than what you realize, and it's dangerous.
That is a subject that United States Senator Katie Britt has also been hammering, as I'm sure you're well aware. Have you had an opportunity to visit with Senator Britt and get her thoughts on the subject as well?
Well, I tell you, not lately, but early on in her campaign, I did, because I started looking at these algorithms in TikTok and in Instagram and how addicting they are to children's brains and even to our brains. That TikTok, they know more about our brain than we do. And those algorithms are dangerous, and they They suck you in. They suck our kids in. And yes, I actually sent her, and we both listened to it, some podcasts, really interesting podcasts about the dangerous, how dangerous these algorithms can be in some of these social media things. They can control us. They can control our mind. They can feed us information. So we have to be really careful.
It's social media crack. That's what I mean.
It's social media crack. It sucks you right in. Crack. It's the new crack, honestly. Yeah. It's very dangerous. And, you know, there's a fine line. I'm all about personal freedom, personal responsibility, personal accountability. But when stuff like this is creeping in and some people don't even realize it, you know, so there's a balance between how much we do want to legislate and how much responsibility we want to leave to the individual. And that's a constant battle every day that we have in the legislature. How much is too much regulation? You know, how much is too much enforcement? You know, that kind of thing.
We've read report after report that the algorithms that you're referring to, that kids in the United States are seeing on TikTok, those are not the same algorithms that kids in China are seeing where TikTok originated. They're getting
absolutely
very different algorithms than our kids. So we know there's a game
their kids
being
are
played
protected.
Here.
You know what? They send educational content on TikTok in China. They send in math information, science information. They cut them off at 10 p.m. or something like that.
Right.
Our kids get all the dangerous information. They protect their kids because they invented TikTok and they know exactly the harm that it can do to their children.
I think they do,
so
too.
So while we're indoctrinating our kids, they're educating their kids through TikTok.
Yeah, and I've got a 16-year-old daughter at home, so this is a real deal for us. And while I think she has made her own decision to stay away from TikTok, there's other social media platforms that she does enjoy, and I think there's some similar things going on there that her mom and I try to watch all the time. But the fact is, we can't see what our kids are doing all the time, no matter how involved we are with their lives. There needs to be some protection on some of these things.
There does. There really does. Even the best helicopter parent. I read a fabulous article. I follow the Free Press. I don't know if you follow that media service, and I think it's just fabulous. It's just good, solid, well-rounded information. There was an article written by a 16-year-old girl, and it was entitled, "My Mother's a Helicopter Parent, and I Still Got Addicted to Porn." And she wrote asking for help. She said, We need help from our legislatures. We need regulation on this. Kids have too much access. And this was a 16-year-old girl asking for help. It was extremely enlightening reading that.
I've read some of the same stories, and you're right. It's an issue, and it's a real issue. This is not something that people have imagined. I'm assuming from your comments that you are intending to sponsor legislation for this in the upcoming session. Have you pre-filed a bill?
I have a bill in the works now, similar to what Louisiana has passed, and it's in the works. I've got it written up. I need to review it and, you know, do some more research, but that is going to be in my top three.
And this, I don't want to presume, but I'm going to a little bit because I've got you on the line and you're able to correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm assuming there will be some type of age verification proposal in this legislation.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, picture ID, you know, devil's in the details, so there's some work to be done on it, but that is something I'm going to be pre-filing.
Interestingly enough, most of these bills that states have passed in this regard, and there's a handful of them out there. You mentioned Louisiana. There's some other states that have taken similar measures. The intent of the bill was really to make it hard for kids to access porn. I mean, as someone who grew up during an era when Playboy magazines were behind the counter, you couldn't get one without asking the clerk to hand you one over the counter. This does make sense to me, but one of the byproducts, and this also goes back to something you've already mentioned in this interview, one of the byproducts in those states is they're saying that adults are much less likely to sign on to porn sites, even though they can do it legally. But if they have to age verify and prove who they are and how old they are, a lot of them just are choosing not to go back because they don't want to give
that information
out.
Yeah, I mean, whether they think that that information may become public or whatever obstacle it is, I'm for it. I mean, that's just a small obstacle, slows somebody down, and if it makes them think twice about maybe I don't want this information out there about me accessing this website, then good. That's a great byproduct that I had not even really thought about, Scott.
We I want to shift gears a little bit here. We had Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth on right before we brought you on, and no surprise, we spent considerable time talking about school choice. He has championed that. He is a big believer in full school choice, which includes vouchers or education savings accounts. You and I have talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I know where you stand, but I want you to share with our audience where you are on that.
Yes. I'm a big proponent of school choice. I live in a district where it may not even be highly utilized. We have really good schools in my district. I think there'll be a very low percentage of people that would take advantage of it. But I think it can help so many areas of our state. And it's important for parents and students to have opportunities to choose where they want their children to go to school. And I especially see this working in a community, for example, like Jefferson County, City of Birmingham, City of Montgomery, City of Mobile, where there are a lot of opportunities for private schools, Catholic parochial schools, private schools, Christian schools, for children to go to, but maybe the parents just can't afford it. So this gives every parent what we've looked at before. It's about $6,900 of state tax dollars to choose and take that to the school that they want to go to. And, it'll be a phase in. It's not going to be available for everybody all at once, but I would love for it to be universally available to all students, regardless of income or lake location or school district, within 3 to 5 years.
The phase in keeps coming up in conversations. It's starting to sound like that is definitely going to be part of the plan. You mentioned several areas, mainly our larger cities, urban areas where education is a problem. We know Birmingham City Schools are some of the lowest academic performing schools.
Yeah,
in the state.
And then right down the street, there may be a private school within reach that they could go to. I also see in rural areas what I hope is for some schools, private schools, Christian schools to pop up. And maybe this will be an opportunity for that. I want the free market to take over and provide options for kids. So maybe you'll have a church that has some classrooms available. And so a small school start. And, sometimes you just got to let the free market do its thing. It'll take a little while. It won't be overnight. And I don't see a huge percentage of our kids statewide doing it. So usually, you might see 5%, 10%. I think Arizona probably has the most participation, and they've had school choice for many, many, many years, and they're at about 15 to 20% participation where they take advantage of this and leave their local public schools and go to a charter school or a private school. You can include homeschooling or not include homeschooling, and I think that's something that will be discussed. Some homeschoolers don't want that because they're afraid of the government getting involved, and they just don't want it. And then some homeschoolers do want that opportunity to take that state money and use it for their expenses. So I think that homeschooling will be a something that will be discussed.
Representative Duos, we appreciate you joining us. We've got a couple of minutes, a few minutes on the other side. Would you hang around through the commercial break and stay with us?
I'll hang on. Thanks.
Thank you. This is Scott Buttram sitting in for Jeff Poor here at the Jeff Poor Radio Show, FM Talk 106.5. You stay with us. We'll be back with Representative Duos in just a minute.
Never play the blues. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more dark. No more night. Now I'm so happy.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Radio Show. Hank Williams singing a little bit there. We just celebrated his 100th birthday. How about that? Legend in country music and an Alabama native. We are joined by Representative Susan DuBose. She was with us in the last segment. She stayed with us. I'm Scott Buttram sitting in for Jeff Poore today. And Representative Dubose, I want to go back to a couple of different things you mentioned in our last segment. One of those being let the free market work in terms of school choice and what schools will pop up. That's been one of the things that the detractors have said repeatedly is, hey, there's no private school in this area. This school choice isn't going to help these kids because there's nowhere else for them to go. That could change pretty dramatically when students have access to $6,900 a year. Every student has that kind of access. I'm with you. I think the free market will take care of that. I think we'll see some private schools start expanding, the ones that have success. And I think there will be some more that pop up. Have you heard anything from people in any of the rural areas or from any entities that may be looking at that?
Well, I'll tell you what, I have heard from headmasters at existing private schools in some of these inner city areas that want to see school choice passed because they see that it can expand their opportunity to reach more students. I think that's what we're going to be looking at. So we could be looking at some of the existing schools expanding and also some new schools popping up. And that's what we need. We need, heck, you know, the private sector can do a whole lot better with $6,900 than the public sector does. We can use that $6,900. They can go a whole lot further. So there is no telling what somebody with creativity and ingenuity can do for these kids.
Another item that you had mentioned were the poor performing schools in some of the urban areas. You mentioned some of the rural areas. Growing up in Tuscaloosa, I immediately think of the Black Belt. Public schools are chronically underperforming. Students are chronically underperforming. It happens all the time. Almost every one of these areas are controlled by Democrats. That's where our Democrat legislators are coming from. That's where some of our Democrat representatives are going to Washington from these same areas. Does it just baffle you that the Democrats are fighting school choice tooth and nail when it is their areas that could potentially gain the most from it?
Absolutely. Those are the areas we are trying to improve. And, you know, I'll just quote Donald Trump. What the hell, you know, how can we do any worse, right? Could it be any worse? Let's try some of these new things because we know we're failing now and we know we're not fixing anything. So let's take some chances and give these kids a chance. Let's take a chance for the kids. So that's where we're going. And you know what? This is not going to fix everything. There is a whole lot that needs to be done in our school system and school choice will not fix it all. But it will be an opportunity, and there will be some kids that will take advantage of it, and they will do better. So that's where we are, and we're going to continue to work on a whole lot of different things. This is all-encompassing. This is just one option of things that we're going to have to work on to improve schools for our kids. And, hey, I am for public schools. I'm for strong public schools. Right. I'm not trying to eliminate public schools. I'm trying to give options.
Well, as you mentioned, the overwhelming majority of our students will probably stay in public school. So it's not like we can turn our back on it. We want them to succeed and we want them to do well. I will tell you, a year ago, as the conversation was going on, I was told by some homeschool parents that they flat out would not support school choice. You mentioned why earlier. Some of them are afraid that it'll invite government interference, and some of them, some homeschool parents could really use the money for additional tutoring and supplies they're having to buy for their kids. So, what do you say to the homeschool parent that says, "Oh no, I'm not going to support it at all if it can't be exactly the way I want it to be"?
Yeah, well, this is the deal. It's all optional. You do not have to participate if you don't want to. So if you don't want to take that state money and use that for your homeschool child, you don't have to. If you want to take it, you can. Now, some homeschools are still against it because they're afraid the regulations are going to change and come down on them. And we just have to convince them that we're not here to regulate homeschoolers.
Representative Dubose, thank you for joining us. I'm Scott Buttram in for Jeff Poore. We're going to take a quick break here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll be right back. And Erica Thomas of 1819 News will join us.
Every gambler knows